Welcome to Main Street Banking, a podcast for community bankers brought to you by the Barrett School of Banking, located in the heart of banking, blues, and barbecue, Memphis, Tennessee. My name is Byron Earnhardt. I am the program director here at Barrett, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to our corner of the banking world and hope that we can make your bank, your staff, and maybe even your day a better one. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Main Street Banking. We're starting a new series, not really a new series, we're updating a series with the Main Street Economic Update with Jim Reber of ICBA Securities. Given the ever-changing economic environment in which we find ourselves, we're going to bring Jim on a lot more frequently to talk about and synthesize, for lack of a better word, the economic news that happens as it happens. So it's going to be a much more current update on the economic goings on, how that impacts community banks, and having that insight from one of the best of the business, Mr. Jim Reber from ICBA Securities. Jim, how you doing?
Fine, Byron, and thank you for having me back on. I think I'd like to begin by announcing a disclaimer and a clarification. I am not an economist, but working very closely with my associates at Vining Sparks, I get to draw on a lot of their information. A lot of you have heard of Craig Dismuke and Dudley Carter, who've contributed to Barrett's education. Yes. We are very aligned with the Independent Community Bankers of America. So my comments are going to tend to be bank-centric. So that's sort of the motive of this newly refined series, and hope that you guys can get some snippets of value out of these comments.
Absolutely. And that's why we bring Jim on, because he knows how to leverage that economic data, but also to talk to bankers right where we are and how we need to look at things. So Jim, we are in a brave new world. Tell us about it. What's going on?
Jobs numbers, the payroll numbers for the last 2 days have been record-setting bad. yeah. Most everyone has heard these numbers now, but they just bear mentioning. Total of 10 million people in the United States have filed for unemployment claims in the last 2 weeks alone. Until 2 weeks ago, this single week record, which occurred back in March of 2009, was 665,000 in any 1 week. Well, last 2 weeks have been 10 million. On Friday, April 3rd, the jobs picture came out, and it's very clearly a half-baked picture. We lost 701,000 jobs on the month. Mm. But that survey that calculated that number had a cutoff date of around March 12th, so it really hasn't captured the last 3 weeks. So if we have this a week or a month from now, first week of May, looking back at the April jobs numbers, there's going to be multi-million numbers of jobs lost. The unemployment rate is jumped from 3.5 to 4.4, and 4.4 would normally be a cause of celebration, but I think we know where that number is going to be headed. There's a lot of noise in this number too. Byron, I've been reading that there's been very low response rate from this survey. So some people are just not responding about whether they're employed or not. In terms of the unemployment rate and the jobless claims, I believe I understand that the federal government has relaxed some rules on whether or not self-employed and independent contractors qualify for unemployment benefits. Typically, they were not eligible for that. So there's going to be some sorting out about the specific numbers, but I think we all know that they're going to be quite dreadful when they actually are posted and sifted through.
Yeah, that would definitely skew the numbers in different directions, but that it's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. It's just not when these get refined, there's still going to be ugly numbers there.
And all through the month, I think our bankers know that interest rates are at record lows or near record lows. Ironically, when the labor data came out on Friday the 3rd, bond market barely moved. So all of that data was already calculated, integrated into the yield numbers. And so perhaps the most value of this commentary today is what are banks doing? Mm-hmm. Well, in the last 3 weeks, banks bought a lot of bonds, and that doesn't include this week. The 2 prior weeks, banks bought a lot of bonds because they were deluged in cash. To the extent they had bonds that could get called, they got called, by gosh. I think we understand, at least anecdotally, there's been some deposit growth at the community bank level as investors went to the safe haven of the FDIC insurance. So banks have actually grown their bond portfolios. Now, this week is different. The Fed has gotten involved in the bond market very heavily. We know about their quantitative easing, active participation in the bond market. Mm-hmm. And in 1 week, the Fed has grown its balance sheet by $1.5 trillion. So if you're keeping score at home, Byron, the Fed's balance sheet is now bigger than Wells Fargo's and JP Morgan's combined. And that is, of course, a gargantuan pile of assets that they've accumulated, all for the purpose of pushing yields down to, at least in theory, stimulate business activity. But in some cases, they've actually muscled out of the way community banks. So broker dealers have actually had a hard time finding some of the staple community bank investments that they'd had purchased in the prior couple of weeks.
Mm. Is there anything else that the community banks are doing in this environment, or where can you speak to them right now where they are?
Well, this is, again, a little bit anecdotal, but, Lightning Sparks does, cover a large portion of the community banking industry. A lot of them have sort of taken a breather. A lot of the community bank management teams have taken a breather. This CARES Act is now being rolled out, most notably the payroll protection program that has almost $350 billion worth of money available for community banks to lend to small businesses. You know, that's being rolled out on Friday, April 3rd, as we speak. Yep. And I've talked to several community bankers today who have sought help for understanding how they access that program. So there's going to be some growing pains and some hiccups in getting this thing launched. But if the thing goes as planned, there will be small businesses that are going to be receiving lifelines to keep themselves afloat for the next couple of months. And hopefully community banks will be able to have a lot of their long-term customers survive this pandemic and the fallout from that. So we hope for the best for that program. It's too early to tell, but we are certainly, and I'm talking about the broker dealers collectively, are certainly hoping for success on that front.
Yeah, and we had talked about before this episode that, you know, having Triple P launched today as we're recording this, right before lunch on April 3rd, when this goes live, we've been waiting on this for, it seems like several months, but it probably has just been a couple of days. Waiting for guidance on this and customers, you know, literally walking in trying to figure out how to get these loans, and we haven't had the guidance on it, but we're finally going live today with it, which feels like a relief, even though, or at least some kind of silver cloud and or silver lining in this cloud that we're seeing. So it would be interesting to see how that goes.
Pardon me for stepping on
no,
your comment.
Please. No, you're fine.
If there is something that we specifically, I'm talking about ICBA Securities and Vining Sparks, may be able to assist with, is we can help community banks choose a best option for funding this loan growth.
Okay.
Some banks have plenty of liquidity. Not all banks do, but all banks want to participate in this. So we have had some commentary produced from our strategies group, mm-hmm. And from our interest rate products group that has a list of options for for best choice for how to fund this. So if any of the listeners are at that point where they're trying to figure out what's, you know, what's most cost effective for them. We certainly have some solutions for that, Byron.
Jim, let's wrap up the update. Tell us how to get, because today we're live with it. So how can a bank get in touch with you on getting some solutions for those initiatives?
Well, first, to the extent that they have a relationship with Vining Sparks and a sales rep, they would know how to contact their sales rep for that. Okay. And yes, we're working remote, but we are working. We are fully functional. If anybody would like to talk to me directly, I'd be glad to get an email from them. My email, Byron, is J Reber. That's the letter J and R-E-B-E-R at icbasecurities.com. So time being of the essence, we're certainly staying close to our phones and our laptops and would be pleased to help give some consultative advice to any community banker on the line.
Absolutely. And I will, if you're listening to this on your iPad or your phone, I've got that email in the show notes and it'll be on the show page as well. So as you're talking with ALCO, as you're trying to figure out how to make these new loans operate, hopefully the customers are not walking into the lobbies, but calling you on the phone to find out about how to apply for, as you're looking at funding issues today, if you got to talk to Jim about that, the email, like I said, will be in the show notes and the show page. Just keep scroll down a little bit on your phone and you'll see Jim's email right there.
Jim. And then one last public service announcement. A common question about the PPP is, can they sell the loans? In theory, yes, but there is no practical secondary market that has emerged, and I doubt that one will. The durations of the loans are too short. And of course, that note rate of 1% doesn't leave much for an investor to receive either. So be prepared to make the loans and own the loans. That circles back to why banks are paying attention how to finance the loans.
Good point there too, Jim. Thank you for that. Jim, I appreciate you being willing to work with us more frequently on this series. I hope we have all good news, but whatever may come, thank you for stepping in and partnering with us on this and getting that information out to the community banking industry. We really appreciate your help with that.
My pleasure as always, Byron, and you know that we'll have another segment of these as often as is practicable.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jim, thanks a lot.
Well, that's our episode for today. We hope you've enjoyed yourself and learned a little something. If you haven't already, please feel free to subscribe to our podcast and drop us a 5-star rating. You can follow us at Barrett Banking on Twitter or Barrett School of Banking on Facebook and LinkedIn. And we even have a new Community Banking Road Trip playlist on Spotify, highlighting your favorite songs about your home state. Check that out and feel free to submit your favorite song about your state to add to the playlist. We have an ever-growing slate of classes, seminars, and webinars that are available, and not to mention our industry-recognized Graduate School of Banking every May, and we look forward to seeing you at any or all of our events. For more information, check out our website at barrett.ws. And from Memphis, the heart of banking, blues, and barbecue, we'll see y'all next time on Main Street Banking.